Now let's look at David's wars here. Chapter 18. Now after this, it came to pass that David smote the Philistines and subdued them and took Gath and her towns out of the hand of the Philistines. And he smote Moab. And the Moabites became David's servants and brought gifts. And David smote Hadarezer, king of Zobah, unto Hamath, as he went to establish his dominion by the river Euphrates. And David took from him 1,000 chariots. Now these are the spoils of war. And David also hewed all the chariot horses, but reserved of them 100 chariots. Now why did David get rid of the horses? Well, because God had told the king never to multiply horses or wives. Now his son later on, Solomon, multiplied both. I was at Megiddo in the Valley of Esdraelon, and the most prominent thing in the ruins of old Megiddo are the stables of Solomon. That's where he kept horses. In fact, you find these stables at Jerusalem. He had them all over the land, and Solomon went in that business, but David did not. David was zealous to obey God, but he was a hot-headed man, as we're going to see. And David made mistakes, and he's in a very real world. Now you find here, as you read this chapter, that he gets a great deal of the spoils of war. And these were used later on. I think that by the time that David had died, that Israel had pretty much accumulated the gold market. I think that the gold was there in Jerusalem in that day. Verse 7, and David took the shields of gold that were on the servants of Hadarezer, brought them to Jerusalem. Likewise from Timnath and from Chun, cities of Hadarezer, brought David very much brass, wherewith Solomon made the brazen sea and the pillars and the vessels of brass. You see, David accumulated all of this as the spoils of war. Now, verse 11, them also King David dedicated unto the Lord with the silver and gold that he brought from all these nations, from Edom, from Moab, the children of Ammon, from the Philistines, and from Amalek. Now, every one of these nations, we know from the past, were enemies of Israel, and they fought against them. Now, David is given the victory over all of these, and there comes to him the spoils of war. So that we see that this man, in order to become a king over that land, there are enemies to be driven out. Now, the child of God has enemies. We're told today to put on the whole armor of God. Now, our enemy today just doesn't happen to be a flesh and blood enemy. Our enemy today is a spiritual enemy. And that's the point Paul made. He says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Flesh and blood's not our enemy, but there is a spiritual enemy. But against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, friends, this is the situation that you and I are in a world. Now, this idea today that the Christian can sit down and twiddle his thumb and you can compromise with everything that comes along, you're entirely wrong. You're going to have to stand for something. I tell you that today we need folk that will stand up and be counted. We've got a lot of folk doing what I heard a country preacher down in Georgia say some time ago. He says a lot of people, instead of standing on the promises, they're sitting on the premises. And I'm afraid that that is absolutely true. Today we need to stand for something. Now, David is doing that. These are enemies, and these are enemies that must be overcome.